The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Michael White, this week in Manchester for the Conservative Party conference. This time last year, the party was feeling its way in coalition, an unexpected development, but enjoying power after a 13-year period on the opposition benches. On balance, they liked being back, but they were puzzled. This year's different. It hasn't got any easier. The economy is stalling after a brief recovery. Ministers are being blamed. They're refusing to accept the blame. The much maligned EU is in crisis. Some Tories think this is an opportunity to squeeze it or even to get out. And on the fringes, at least, the Lib Dems are increasingly viewed as an over-influential hindrance to Conservative aims and ambitions rather than necessary allies as they were last year. All that, and the Prime Minister, David Cameron, who felt the need this morning to begin the conference with an apology on the BBC's Andrew Marr show to all women whom he might, inadvertently, of course, have offended.
Yes, I mean, I obviously said some things in the House of Commons that, you know, just came out wrong and caused the wrong impression, and I deeply regret that. And I was asked about it in an interview with the Sunday Times, and I just said what I think.
So you're a new man, really. Women can relax. You're not patronised. You're not old-fashioned. You're new. You're
well.
Modern.
This is not an excuse. It's an explanation. But the House of Commons, Prime Minister's Questions, is very aggressive, confrontational. That's what Prime Minister's Questions is like. And I don't think you can change it, actually. But as a result, sometimes it sounds terrible. And so I apologise for that. That's not what I'm like. That's not who I am. And I wanted to try and put that right. But I recognise, you know, must do better.
Well, we're now with The Guardian's Allegra Stratton, who happened to be on that very programme reviewing the papers with the Prime Minister, or at least at the same time, and even more exciting was in the makeup studio when Mr Cameron came in to be made up. His press secretary said later he only ever wears makeup on television. We were glad to have that cleared up. Allegra, how was this excitement for you?
It's funny because we looked at each other and then I thought I've got like half my face made up. So I then stood up to let him have his makeup, because that's what you do if the Prime Minister comes into the room. And people later said, why did you stand up? Like, imagine if I'd sat there and he'd watched me have my makeup. Really bad look.
Old-fashioned and respectful. I don't know if the White House press corps always stands up when the President comes into the room.
I quite like that.
He's the head of state as well.
Exactly.
Head of state as well as
a big philosophical difference.
Yeah,
it
does actually. They're a bit greasy to the incumbent. Let that pass. Did you feel that he had to make these apologies? Sunday Times interview, big headlines. Has he got an issue with women?
Well, as I think you know, Mike, it wasn't meant to be. This big story wasn't meant to be sorry. Sorry was supposed to be an incidental. Probably they imagined it would be an intro to a colourful right through inside, and the outside story with this thing on housing.
This is the 100 extra thousand homes they want to build on brownfield land.
But in aforementioned makeup room, he did say, I said, you know, did it go according to plan? Is that what you wanted? A big splash saying I'm sorry, because I'm not sure it's particularly helpful. It just reminds people you've got this problem rather than necessarily gets an apology across. And he said, no, I really, really needed to say it. I wanted to say it. I think he feels that there's a massive mismatch between his public persona and his private one, where a lot of his female, his members of staff are female. I think on the two occasions, there's two different things. On the kind of laddish moments where he tells Nadine Dorries he's sorry, she's frustrated, and then calm down, dear, to Angela Regal. I mean, they're sort of, they did show flashes of sort of casual.
He lost the election, I'm afraid, because of a Conservative candidate, but he's now a GP. He says, calm down, dear. Calm down. Calm down. Listen. Listen to the doctor. Calm down and listen to the
doctor. It's about time we told the Deputy Prime Minister who is the boss.
I know the Honourable Lady is extremely frustrated about... maybe I should start all over again.
But the bigger problem, which we haven't really talked about, is that these policies that they're so worried about, they've commissioned proper polling on and trying to draw up a raft of things targeted at C2, in particular female voters. So I think there's sort of, he was saying sorry
That's
for
the
those.
More serious
yeah,
point.
He was
is
saying
really
sorry
what it's
for
about?
Exactly. He was saying sorry for these silly moments, but actually there was no the policy that came with it was about housing. Of course, that affects women too, but the policy wasn't about this sort of across the board problem they have with women and their policies. So it was an interesting sort of happy to say sorry and take that on the chin, but not actually happy to change government policy.
Thank you for clearing that up. Well, let's hear what some of the women we can find wandering around the conference hall think about David Cameron and the gender issue. Was the Prime Minister onto something when he said sorry about making funny remarks about women MPs, or is that all a storm in a teacup?
To me, it's a storm in a teacup.
Did you, when you heard PMQs, I was there. I didn't think it was meant to be offensive, but what do I know? What did you think?
I don't think it was offensive. It's just something he said off the cuff without realising what he said.
The wider issue, which the opinion polls and things and market research suggests, is that women voters are more easily put off David Cameron than are men. There's quite a lot of polls that have thrown that up. That may lie behind the remark, the sort of apology. Have you picked up any of that?
No.
In a word, no, thank you.
Okay.
Ring any bells with you? Did you feel that way?
I didn't hear it, I'm afraid. Sorry.
This was question time. A few weeks ago, Nadine Dorries, the MP, he said he knew she was terribly frustrated and all these beasts sitting behind her went, ho, 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 nudge, nudge, and he looked a bit surprised and she was a bit cross. And it happened, a similar thing happened with a Labour MP. You obviously don't remember that, I can tell by your face. Or does that ring a bell?
No, it does ring a bell now, so I got slightly distracted. So, no, I do remember that, and I don't think it's very appropriate, actually, to refer to women as dear. And everything.
But he said I was doing the Michael Winner calm down dear bit, and he thought no more of it than that. And that's meant to be camp, isn't it, rather than sexist?
Well, potentially it is, but David Cameron is one of the most powerful men in the country, and I think he has a responsibility, especially when women are so underrepresented in Parliament and in politics, to actually speak to women like they're serious politicians and with respect.
Because all the opinion polls say that Cameron has a slight problem with women, that when voters in general go off him, women go off him more than men do. Does that make sense from your sense of David Cameron?
Well, I think that, you know, women are the ones feeling the brunt of the cuts to public services as well, and being forced to fill in the gap, and his big society is essentially more female volunteers. But, you know, I wouldn't like to kind of generalise on the basis of gender or anything. I couldn't tell you why specifically women don't trust them, apart from maybe being more affected by his policies.
Thank you. We're very rigorous here. We don't do generalisations. Thank you very much. Okay, now we're looking here by the Boris Johnson stand, which is tribute to the cult of the personality. Of course, Boris has got his gender issues too, but in rather a different way. Can we stop for a moment? We're from the Guardian podcast, yeah. And we're saying to delegates, what's the important thing this week the government or the party has to do to reassure its activists that it's on the right track? What things worry or please you?
I'm happy with the way the government is cutting the deficit. I think it's really important that we get the deficit down as quickly as possible so that in 2 or 3 years' time, when the economy picks up, we're in a strong position both nationally and internationally to get Britain back to the top of the market again.
You don't worry about this question, which all sorts of clever people say, taking away the prospect of growth, because both the public sector and the private sector are cutting back so hard. Where's the growth going to come from? That's roughly what they say.
Well, I like some of the new initiatives that I understand are coming out this week, such as improving the opportunity to build more houses, selling council houses and building another one, so the housing market will improve. And if the housing market improved, the knock-on effect across the whole sector, I think, would be very good for the economy. But in the short term, we have to suffer some hardships. We've spent money we haven't got, and so for a year or two, a lot of people are going to suffer, but in the longer term, we're doing the right thing.
Excuse me, are you a delegate?
You might be.
No need to be ashamed.
Yeah, it's fine. No, it's
you
fine.
Are? Asking people what they think the message the government's got to get across this weekend to have a successful conference.
Probably say that we need to demonstrate that we are quite mainstream, and that particularly economically we need to push that we are the most competent party. I'd probably say, actually, that those are the main issues, like economics.
When you say mainstream, what comes into your head?
Hand is a little bit more to the centre ground than perhaps some people perceive us to be currently.
So that would be economic policy, growth policy, or would it be social policy, social issues, a sort of compassionate conservatism, as some people put it?
I'd probably say a little bit more on the social policy, I mean, traditionally, I think where we are with economic policy, I think it's right where we should be. I think in that sense, I believe, well, from many people I've spoken to, it seems that the Lib Dems seem to be taking too much of a having too much influence. The only problem is the things that are being most harshly targeted at the moment, things like the military, which is quite bad because the military is our traditional support base, and they see us as damaging them. And I think that's quite a bad way to go. It should be more sort of evenly based rather than targeting certain areas just for political gratification.
That would include the NHS, would it? Because the NHS and international aid are the two departments which have been exempt from any form of restriction.
Personally, I think there are a lot of ways in which the NHS can be run more efficiently. I've dealt with the NHS recently myself. I've had to go to the hospital to try and get an operation on my knee. I think it was a torn meniscus, and they've told me there's a 6-week waiting time, and that's frankly very long. There are ways in which they could make it, you know, more efficient. Obviously, I'm not an expert on this. I'm not a doctor. I couldn't tell you.
What do you do for a living?
Actually, I work in planning communications, public affairs. Mm-hmm. I work for Bellenden. So.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Good luck. Good luck with the knee. Thank you very much.
You too.
What's the big issue this week? What's the Prime Minister and the government got to address?
I think primarily it's got to address issues rather than just cuts. It's got to talk about what it's going to do positively for the economy and indeed for society.
That's growth. Economic growth.
Partly economic growth, partly caring for the dispossessed in our society as well.
Modern compassionate conservatism, absolutely. I think, is the slogan of the conference. Now, when you say that, what's the first thing that comes into your head which they're not getting quite right yet?
The image of what they can do across. For the last 6 months, we've seen very little positive sort of stories coming out. It's all been about keeping to the plan A economic issues and not actually saying what positive actions they can take.
But they would say, if we don't keep to plan A, we'll end up like the Greeks. I think they're exaggerating the point, but they do say it, and it's been pretty scary. Across the channel.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm fully in favour of keeping to plan A, but what you have to do is have some positive things moving forward for the next 4 years.
Are you in business?
I'm retired.
You got out in time, as we say. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We're walking in what they call the marketplace. There was a bit of one here, I think, the Tory conference last year. I'm by Ron Payne silk ties. You can get yourself at what are described as good quality woven silk ties for £7 here. Very good bargain price, and it often costs 10 times that amount. But Cro Vadis is here, and Blackwell's Bookshop. The supermarkets are here, interestingly enough. Asda, Tesco, M&S, what are they doing? They're offering sort of free nibbles, but the angle is that they're all locally produced, and they're saying we're not just big heartless international conglomerates, we support local firms. So I've been scoffing all afternoon. There have been sort of Welsh cakes, and there's been Lancashire cheeses, and very nice it is too. And before we go, let's ask Allegra Stratton what she thinks the government ought to be doing this week, what message it needs to be getting over to its activists who are a bit sort of wary of this coalition stuff after 15 months.
Well, a cabinet minister said to me last night, the metaphysical question, quote unquote, hanging over.
Not many cabinet ministers who know what that means.
Exactly, it narrows it down. Hanging over this conference is growth. We won't hear, I don't think we'll hear very much about it, because there's supposedly George Osborne has divvied up half and half between his conference announcement and the growth review on the 29th of November. So we won't hear loads about it, apparently. But that's really the sort of thing that people are writing pamphlets about and discussing. What we will hear a lot about is Europe, referendum, in, out. Do they even get a vote in Parliament? Even if they do, Foreign Secretary William Hague says, dream on, you're not actually going to get... And a lot of these backbenchers, even though they're unhappy and want to repatriate, they don't actually want out. Some of them sort of do, but when push comes to...
Some of them definitely do.
Some of them do, but if you've got the Lib Dems saying definitely not, Labour saying probably... I think most of Labour would say definitely not, though there is a growing body of opinion that is worried about some of this stuff. And then I think you probably get about 30 to 40 of the hardcore Tories who would say, yeah, let's get out. Because when push came to shove, I think people get a bit queasy, especially given William Hague has indicated they would be whipped not to say, let's get out and have a referendum.
Well, I must say, it doesn't look a very busy start to the Conservative conference. That may be a bit unfair, seems a bit thin. Activists, all well scrubbed and neat, and some of them wearing flowered dresses, a throwback to the old Tory party, but that may just be the weather. I have to say, anybody coming from the south will have been disappointed. Scotland and the northwest of England are not getting the best of the weather on this gloriously sunny Indian summer weekend. William Hague spoken.
I told you in 1998 of what would happen with the euro. And now I'll tell you what I regard as just as powerful a truth about the Western economies. Faced as we are with a new situation in which growth is not automatic, in which people will all the more need skills and businesses outstanding products and economies to be open and free, some Western nations will make the transition, will reinvent themselves successfully, and some will not. Those who do make it will be those who make the most of their human capital and bring out the best in inventive and hard-working people.
Given some red meat to the Tory Eurosceptics, but not too much. The government is keen to keep this issue of Europe, which so excites the activists but doesn't excite the wider electorate to the same extent. Government is keen to keep this under wraps and cautious, but it does require ministers like Hague to throw a bit of red meat to them. Hard to judge this conference yet. Very hard. The other two were more cheerful than we thought they had a right to expect. This one seems a bit subdued so far. We'll keep an eye on it during the week and hope to talk to you again. I'm Mike White. Producer was Phil Maynard. We're in Manchester.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.